Well, we begin the redemption of Scrooge. And we watched the movie A Christmas Carol last night here in this sacred dark space last night. It was a lot of fun. And Scrooge, as you know, starts off, well, being Scrooge. And Scrooge, many times, can be a synonym for lots of things, like grumpiness, or what else can you think of for a synonym for Scrooge?
Negativity.
Miser. What?
Disagreeable.
Selfish. Yes. Well, there are many different versions of Scrooge. I forgot his name. Tell me, Stark, you might know him. George C. Scott. So he played Scrooge. He's not the one, huh, Stark? You remember an older one than this? Okay. And then Patrick Stewart. He played Scrooge one time in A Christmas Carol in the early 2000s. And the Muppets even had A Christmas Carol in which Michael Caine played Scrooge. And Bill Murray, he played Scrooge, or I don't know what his last name was in this, in Scrooge, and that was the Ghost of Christmas Past that came along. And I've also heard Mr. Magoo had a really great take on the Scrooge story, A Christmas Carol. And I have never seen that one, but that's all I heard about when I started talking about the redemption of Scrooge. This is such a timeless, oh, Scrooge McDuck, I forgot about him. And this is the one we watched last night with Jim Carrey. This is such a timeless story. The setting may change, but the story of letting go and letting God is as relevant today as it was in 1843. And I'm wondering, who's a Scrooge in your life? Who is holding on to something tighter than being in a loving relationship? Who is holding on to resentment tighter than personal responsibility or forgiveness and grace? And who has decided that you reap what you sow is of more importance than the parable of the Good Samaritan or the sheep and the goats? Who's the Scrooge in your life? And could it possibly be you? The gap between the rich and poor remains the same. The disparity of things in Jesus' time, Dickens' time, and now are ever present. My fear is that things may get worse before they get better. As we individually and collectively recognize this unreasonable gap, we can advocate because the world's economy and God's economy are very different, just as our text in Luke describes. You might wonder why that's up there. Don't you think it's strange to wait or long for something that you already know how it's going to end? So if you look up there, episode 4, which is the one on the bottom left, episode 4, came out in 1977. Star Wars: A New Hope came out in 1977. Episode 5 came out in 1980. Episode 6 came out in 1983, and then 16 years later, in 1999, episode 1 came out. Now, who would go see a movie in which we knew what the ending was because we already saw episode 4, 5, and 6 in the 1980s? Well, a lot of people wanted to see how it began and wanted to, even though they knew the ending, because in 1999, episode 1 grossed $924 million. People went to see it even though they knew how it ended. And then episode 2 came out in 2002, and episode 3 came out in 2005, all, you know, record breakers, etc. How strange to long or wait for. There were people in line for days and days before episode one came out. How strange it is to long and wait for something that has already occurred and you know the ending. But isn't this what we do each Advent? We retell the story of Jesus' birth even though we know the story and we know the ending. We long for this story. We long for the hope of the baby Jesus because we know from Isaiah that it was foretold that the Messiah will be our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, eternal one, and Prince of Peace. He will establish peace with justice and righteousness forever. And we long for this. We long for peace. Jesus' birth reminds us to hope again. And it reminds us to hope for miracles or God moments. Now, what do we do with this hope? Things will never change to God's economy if Christmas comes and goes and we have done nothing to change. But what if we put our trust in something greater than ourselves? And we trust in God. We trust that this hope God gave us in Jesus is enough. What if this hope and trust overcome fear? If you fear change, leave it here. Leave your fear of change. Let it go. Give it up to God. Advent is a time of longing for the birth of Jesus, and he brings and all he brings to the world. How will we live up to that? Are we willing to let go of resentment? Let go of control? Let go of the past? Or let go of anything else that might be holding us back from making that change? Or are we ready to offer forgiveness? We cannot become what we want by remaining what we are. This is a quote from Max Dupree. Will we remain a Scrooge or make change? How can we change to make this world more like the one we hope, one that we hope for as we retell the story of Jesus' birth? How do we find peace? How do we make change that counts? Well, the author of the children's blessing, Mark Burroughs, wow, he said it so well. There are different kinds of peace. There's peace on the outside that comes when people stop fighting with each other. And there's peace on the inside that comes when we feel all the way down to our toes that God's love is there to hold us and comfort us. And in conclusion, we can make changes when we count on God's love. God's economy, as talked about in the text in Luke that we read today. God's economy is enough. It is always there to hold and comfort us. Peace begins with me. I choose this chose this image because of the circles around me. It does begin with each of us leaning into the hope, the love, the peace, but not without God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit encircling us with all these things, hope, love, and peace. Now, the miracle has just begun in you for the sake of the world. God bless us, everyone.